Today's shiur in Maseches Bava Basra will be beginning at the top of Kuf Mem Vov Omed Aleph. In the previous shiur, the Gemara had featured a number of drushas concerning the posuk in Mishle, Kol Yemei Oni Ro'im. The top of our Gemara, top of Kuf Mem Vov Omed Aleph, continues in that spirit. In this case, the Gemara opens up with a question. The question will be, how can the Pasuk say that all the days of an Oni are bad? Doesn't the Oni experience pleasure and joy on Shabbos and Yontif? So if that be the case, how can Shabbos and Yontif be included in the expression that even those days are bad? The Gemara will answer that in fact, even though there's joy and extra good food on Shabbos, nevertheless, that itself causes a system change, an upset stomach, if you will, by someone who is used to eating a minimal amount, a very poor type of food, and all of a sudden on Shabbos he starts, he consumes rich meals, he consumes his cholent, for example. That has quite an effect on the whole digestive system. And as a result of that, even Shabbos and Yontif, for the Oni, who's not used to that kind of consumption, is termed negative, termed Yomim Ra'im. So now we'll read the question inside. The Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Kol Yemei Oni Ra'im? Is it so that all the days of the poor man are bad? Vo'iko Shabbosos V'yomim Toivim? Are there not the Shabbos and Yontif days, which are good days? So the Gemara answers, Kiddush Shmuel, the explanation of this posuk, including Shabbos and Yontif as a Yom Ra for the Oni, can be explained through Shmuel's teaching. The Omar Shmuel, Shinui Veses, a change in that which one is regular in doing. Trilas Choli, the change in the irregularity is the beginning of sickness, as we described a few moments ago. As we go on in the Gemara, a reference is made to a piece of work known as Sefer Ben Sira. Sefer Ben Sira is a very early work that may date, in fact, to the times of the prophets. It was a work that was studied by Tanoim and Amoroim. In other words, you find references throughout the Shas to this particular work. We're not going to get involved with a discussion on the background of the work and what have you. Suffice it to say that though it's an early piece of work, it's not a work of holiness. It's not part of the 24 books of the Tanakh. But nevertheless, the Chachmei HaTalmud were well aware of its contents. The Gemara will make reference to a passage that appears in Ben Sira. One has to be very careful with the reading of the Gemara, and we're going to try to solve a potential reading problem with the use of brackets. The brackets that appear very shortly are described on the inside margin. Hasograyim mi'odim lehavlit. The purpose of these brackets are to bring out Dema Shekosuv B'Sefer Ben Sira Hainu She'af HaLeilois Ro'im Le'oni. The Sefer Ben Sira will point out that even the nighttime is bad for the Oni. In other words, the Posuk that talks about the bad times of the Oni, Kol Yemei Oni Ro'im, that's a Posuk in Mishle. The Posuk refers to Yemei, the days of the Oni, the daytime of the Oni, of the poor man is bad. The Sefer Ben Sira adds that the nighttime as well. So, as we go on in the Gemara, we'll first read with a skip. Ksiv b'Sefer Ben Sira, af leilois. And apparently the Sefer Ben Sira goes on to say, b'shval gagim gago, mimotor gagim legago, etc. We'll come back and explain that. Let's now go over the Gemara again. Ksiv b'Sefer Ben Sira, kol yemei oni ro'im. The Posuk in Mishle says that all of the days of the Oni are bad. Ben Sira Omer Af Leilos. And Ben Sira adds the nighttime as well. In other words, as far as Ben Sira is concerned, 24 hours, 24/7, the Oni has a hard time. And the further descriptions of the difficulties of the Oni, Bishval Gagim Gago, his roof is Shval, is the lowest. In other words, where you're in a neighborhood of dwellings, and the neighborhood is characterized by houses built on a hill, his the Oni's house, the poor neighborhood, is located lowest down. Mimatar Gagim Ligago. The runoff of rain from everyone else's roofs runs off onto his roof, because his is the lowest. Now, when it comes to fields, location of fields, the opposite is the case, and that too is negative for the poor man. Barum Harim Karmo. Rooms, the heights of the mountains, is his vineyard. In other words, his agricultural area is located highest up on the mountain. And as a result of that, the following is true. Me'afar Karmo Lekromim. When there's erosion, all of his topsoil, which contains the fertilizer, that is blown off from his Karen, from his vineyard, to the vineyards of the wealthier people down below in the valley. We approach a Mishnah now, which presents a new topic. This is a topic of the gifts that we've made reference to in the past, gifts that an Orus sends to his Arusa before they enter Nisuin, in their first stage of marriage. Before they consummate the marriage, there's a practice of sending gifts to the father-in-law's house. And more, the topic, the sukkah that we'll be dealing with, evaluates what happens with those gifts in the event that they don't go through with the marriage. They don't go through till Nisuin. Before we continue with the Mishnah itself, let's glance at the Rashbam at the beginning of the Mishnah. Hasholeach Savlonos, Minog Chatzanim, Lachar Kiddushin, Lemochros, the day after the groom offers kesef, offers money, or offers Kiddushin to his wife, Sholeach Lebeis Chomiv, the groom sends to his father-in-law, Lechvod Ishto, in honor of his new wife, Tachshitin Umine Peros, Vekade Yayim Vekade Shemen, sends jewelry and food matters, wine and oil, and sometimes he accompanies these gifts, so to speak, and has a meal with his new father-in-law. Turning to the Mishnah, Hasholeach Savlonus Lebeis Chomiv, Sholach Shom Mea Mona, he sent gifts of great value, of 100 mona, the Ochal Shom Seudas Chosan, Afilu Bedinar, and he ate a meal, a chosan meal, a meal that would characteristic of that which a new groom eats with his father-in-law, even if it was a very little value. Afilu Bedinar, dinar is a coin, in other words, relative to the value of the gift he sent, this was very little. A non nigvin, the chosan, if something happens that prevents their marriage from going through, nevertheless, those gifts are not recovered. They're not collected. Lo ochal shom sudas choson. If he sent the gifts but did not eat the meal there, hare elu nigvin, then those gifts can be recovered. The choson, or his heirs, can recover them. Sholach sivlonos merubin, Sheyachsuru imo lebeis bailo, hare elu nigvin. If he sent a large amount, or big gifts, a large amount such that they would not be used up during the interim period between the Erusin and the Nisuin, namely, these are gifts that he sent to her father-in-law's house, to his father-in-law's house, that is, with the anticipation that when the couple gets married, there would be things left, things would remain, and they would be brought back to him as they live together as man and wife. So the Mishnah says, those kind of gifts, hare elu nigvin, those kind of gifts can be recovered. Sivlonos mu'atin shetishtamish bohem bebeis aviyah. If we're going to talk about minor type gifts that would be used up during the interim period when she's still in her father's house, and something happens and the marriage doesn't go through, nevertheless, those things are not recovered. Ein nigvin. The Mishnah presents a number of categories. If you stop and try to categorize the different elements of this Mishnah, you see the Reisha that doesn't qualify the Savlonos. It doesn't talk about Merubin or Mu'atin, but it qualifies the return based on his eating a meal or not eating the meal. That's as far as the Reisha is concerned. If he eats the meal with them, even if it's a minor amount that he eats together with them, that's it. He can't recover those gifts. They're sunken. If he doesn't eat with them, they can be recovered. The Seifa of the Mishnah made a different type of distinction. It did not talk about his eating a meal with them or not, but rather spoke about Savlonos Merubin versus Savlonos Mu'atin. And we've featured that with our underlining of those expressions. Before we go on in the Gemara, we can glance at the Rashbam, who is sensitive to these different categories. The Rashbam, Einon Nigvin. What do we mean that they're not collected? So there are a few possibilities. Im Meis Hu, if the Chosan died, so the marriage won't go through. O Shemesa Hi, or the Kala died, the bride died. O Shechozar Bo, the Roitze Lagarsha, or the groom is deciding to back out and wants to divorce her and doesn't want to go through with the Nisuin. So the Mishnah tells us that under all of those circumstances, there was a reference to those Savlonos that are Ein Nikvin, are not recovered. Shemachmas Chibas Simchas Achilo She'ocha V'shosa V'somachi Mohen. Because of the joy that he experienced in eating with them, this is a reference to, of course, the meal that was mentioned under category Beis in the Reisha of the Mishnah. Correction, category Aleph in the Mishnah, where the Mishnah referred to, even if he ate a meal of a dinner, Eino Nigvin, he, the Chosan, had great joy in that meal, and as a result of that, as the Rashbam says, Mochal Sivlonos Hoasuyin Livlois. He is Mochel, he is forgiving of those kind of gifts that are perishable. We've swiggle underlined Hoasuyin Livlos being a main point. When the Mishnah talks about those kind of Sivlonos that are not recovered, we're talking about Sivlonos Hoasuyin Livlos, perishables. Avol Ein Asuyin Livlos, if we're going to talk about Sivlonos gifts that are non-perishable, Hadri, those are recoverable. Afal pisha ochav v'shosayim ohem. Even if the chosan had a meal with them, kedesanya b'gemora, as is taught in a Tanaic source in the Gemara. Ubisavlonos stam myri. The type of savlonos are not qualified. Dehal lekamon maflig. Because later, we saw already in the Mishnah, there is a new distinction, a separate distinction made, the Sivlonos Shishalach Kidei Shiavo Imo LeBeis Baila, the Sivlonos Shishalach Kidei Shetishtamesh BeBeis Aviha. A distinction made between those gifts that were expected to come back to him versus those kind of gifts that were expected to be used up while she was still in her father's home. V'hano lo tolu b'achila s'chosan, and those are not dependent on the meal. V'chlal d'resha b'stam sivlonos. V'hano the stam sivlonos t'luyin b'sudas chosan. Imochal imoem mechulin. If he had a meal with them, so then they are forgiven. He won't recover them. V'imlav nigvin. If he doesn't have the meal, they will be recovered if the marriage doesn't go through. But the Rashbam did mention that this stam sivlonos concerns perishables. Because when you're dealing with non-perishables, then this issue, this standard, making a distinction between the meal and not meal, doesn't apply. Now, we're ready to turn to the Gemara. Omar Rava, Davka Dinner. The Mishnah, and you can navigate using the arrows that you see in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara. The arrow here is paralleled with the arrow above, and we've dashed underlined the expression bediner, meaning a coin, as opposed to the English word dinner. Truth be told, this is a dinner worth a dinar. So Rava says that the example of the cost of the meal that the Mishnah cited was to be taken literally. Avol pochos midinar, if the cost of the meal that the chosan ate was less than that, lo, then the halacha would not apply. Namely, even if he ate by the father-in-law, the gifts would still be recoverable because the amount he ate was less than a dinar. The Gemara says, what do I need Rava for? Pshita, dinar tnan. That's what the Mishnah says. I could figure that out on my own. The Mishnah says that if he eats a meal worth a dinar, then he doesn't recover the gifts. You can infer from that if it were less than a dinar, he would. So mau detema, I would have thought without Rava, hu hadin de afilu pochos midinar. I would have thought that hu hadin means the same din would apply, namely that ein nigvin, that they would not be recoverable, even if the meal was worth less than a dinar being a cost. The high dikotani dinar, the fact that the Mishnah made reference to that cost, urcha de milsa katani. Just use a common example. It's common that meals of this nature cost a dinar. So that's what I would have thought without Rava, that it was just a random example. Kamash Malon, what Rava is informing us is that the Mishnah's example is taken literally. And therefore, if the meal would be less than a dinar, the gift would be recoverable. As we look ahead in the Gemara, we notice geometric forms that accompany the text. These are explained in the outside margin under the heading Mivne. We notice a bow tie form, and then after that a volcano form with some additional markings. So as we glance at the outside margin, we notice the bow tie form. All geometric forms in the marking system represent some form of series. There is no inherent significance to any given form. All that you're expected to do is to be aware that you connect up the shapes as you scan the page. So here we have a bow tie form, Sidro Shel She'elois Be'inyan Hachzoras Sivlonos, a series of questions that have as a common thread the issue of the returning of gifts. The next symbol that we will notice in the Gemara is this volcano symbol with a dashed underline. And we've indicated Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel, Maise Ba'odem Echad. You'll notice that the volcano encompasses the name Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel. Following it is that he reports an incident involving some individual. So you have a story like that over here, and the second line from the bottom, you'll notice again Rav Yehuda Omar Rav introducing a Maise Ba'odem Echad. So we now open the Gemara. Ochal Tnan. Notice we have a numbering system over here because the nature of this question is going to be to focus in on several terms, on three words of the Mishnah, and ask, can we derive any conclusion from the inferences that may be implied by each expression? For example, Ochal Tnan, meaning the Mishnah used the term Ochal. That was found on the second line of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah indicated he sent a large gift, the Ochal Shom Sudas Chosan. Shosa Mai. What would the halacha be if he drank with the family, with the father-in-law? Another question. Hu Tnan. The Mishnah spoke about the Chosan eating there. Shlucho mai. What would be if the gifts were brought to the father-in-law's house through an intermediary, a shaliach? And the shliach had a meal with them, and then the marriage didn't go through. What would the din be with regard to the savonos? Shum tnan. The Mishnah indicates that the chosan ate his meal there, meaning in the house of the Kala. in the bride's home, the home of her father. Shogar lo mai. What would be the halacha if they, the father-in-law, sent a meal, maybe in some kind of tinfoil pan with a special cover, heat-preserving container, to the chosan's house? What would the din be in that case? Would his eating a sent meal also constitute grounds for forgiving the gifts in the event the marriage doesn't go through? So we have, in effect, three questions that were asked in a volley. Toshma. In order to answer this, the Gemara provides a Toshma, come and hear. In this case, we'll be presenting an incident from which we may be able to draw some conclusions. Notice a marking that appears in the space immediately to the right-hand side of the Gemara text. We have an abbreviated Tof Shin Toshma encircled with a vertical dashed line indicating that the proof or the attempted resolution to these questions will last this number of lines, approximately 6 lines of Gemara dedicated to the answer. Toshma, Yomar Vihura Mershmuel, Maisev Odem Echod. Rav Yehuda Omer Shmuel reports to us an incident involving a certain individual. Shogar lebeis chomiv mea kroinois. He sent to his father-in-law's house 100 carts. Shel kade yayin v'shel kade shemen v'shel klei kesev v'shel klei zohav v'shel klei milas. 5 gifts or types of gifts are enumerated here. Flasks of yayin, of wine, of shemen, of oil, clay kesef, silver articles, clay zav, gold articles, and clay milas, linens. The rochav b'simchoso, and he rode in joy together with the gifts. The holach v'omar al pesach beis chomiv, and he stood at the entranceway to his father-in-law's house. The hotziu kois shulchamin v'shosa umeis. And they brought out to the chosan standing at the door a cup of hot beverage, drank it, and died. Vizu halocha hela Rabbi Acha Sarabiro lifnei chachomim leusha. And this halachic issue Rabbi Acha presented to the sages in Usha, name of a town the Sanhedrin occupied. The Amru Savlonos Aleph Huasuyun Livlois E Nigvin. And they ruled that perishable savlonos are not collected. And once a gift of perishables is presented to the father-in-law, that's not anticipated to be collected. V'she'ein asuyin livlois nigvin. By the way, this was referred to by the Rashbam that we had read on the Mishnah. The Rashbam mentioned that there would be a source, namely a source making a distinction between Hasuyin Livlos and Ein Hasuyin Livlos, as would be taught in a Tanaic source presented in the Gemara. And in effect, you can see that this is that source that the Rashbam made reference to. What do we see from this? Shma mino, we conclude from this, afilu shasa. We had a series of questions. The first question, the number one that we had at the beginning of this section of Gemara where the bowtie form appeared, the Gemara had raised the point that the Mishnah mentioned ochal and then asked what would the din be regarding a drink. So from this story, which we feature that they brought out a cup of hot beverage and he drank. So we see from here that drinking too constitutes grounds for which gifts would no longer be recoverable. As was taught in this particular source that Rav Acha Sar HaBira raised to the Chachamim, and they said that perishables are ein nigvin, are not recoverable. The Gemara raises some further questions on the, based on this story we just read, we've indicated these additional questions with a special marking, a double underline with dots in it, one of our series markings. The reason for that is there is a repetitive nature. There's a question here, and on the end of the next line, again. Question, therefore, we have, Shamas Mino, can we conclude, Afilu Pochos Midinar? Can we conclude from this story that even less than a dinar would be grounds for the gifts to be non-recoverable? And that would be a kasha on Rava before. What we've introduced in our marking system is we have an arrow that you find in the in the left-hand space between the Gemara and the Rabbeinu Gershom, left-hand of the Gemara text. That arrow is paralleled with an arrow appearing before the line in which Rava's comment appeared. So it's based on that comment of Rava that the Gemara is asking its question over here, that maybe we should conclude from this story that even less than an order. What's the basis of this question? Very simply, a beverage, a hot beverage that was served to this particular chassan, one would assume was cost much less than a dinar being a reasonably large amount of money. Omar Rav Ashi, man le malon, Rav Ashi responds and says, who is to say that that beverage was in fact not a very expensive beverage? So man le malon de lo shachaki le marganisa, who is to say that they didn't grind up a valuable stone or a pearl possibly, and the shavya alpha zuzi, and that it is itself worth thousands of zuz, another type of currency, vashke, and that's what he drank. In other words, he drank a beverage that was worth a lot of money. That could be. So therefore, I'm not going to conclude to the contrary of Rava. Another question. Shamas Mina, should we conclude from that which we learned just above? Afilu Shogru Lo. You'll notice in the using the markings, we have an asterisk that appears to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. Can you find a parallel asterisk? Yeah, and you do. A few lines up, there was on that line, the number 3 that appeared there was Shom Tanan, Shogar Lo Mai. The Mishnah taught about a son-in-law eating there in the house of the father-in-law. The Gemara asked, what would be the din if they sent to him a meal? Can we conclude from this story of the fellow who brought gifts to his father-in-law and died that the meal, or that which he eats, would include even if it were sent to him, namely that the chos and the groom didn't necessarily have to eat in the house of the father-in-law for this din to apply? And based on what is this question being raised? Based on the fact that it's said in the story he drank the hot beverage while he was riding on his animal in front of the door of his father-in-law. In other words, he wasn't sitting in their living room. He wasn't sitting in their living room. They sent the drink to him, to the son-in-law, who was not in their house. So the Gemara answers, this is not conclusive, because Dilma kol Pesach beis chomiv kebeis chomiv domi. In the story, we saw that the son-in-law was Omar al Pesach beis chomiv. That's found a few lines up. You can possibly find that in the story text itself. What we've done here is provided to the left-hand side of the Gemara text a double star, and you can find a parallel double star a few lines up, and you'll notice that on that line it mentioned the Omar al Pesach beis chomiv. So the Gemara is saying, the fact that the son-in-law was standing in the doorway of the father-in-law, that may be viewed as if he were standing in the house proper, and hence we cannot conclude the question of Shogru Lo either. Another question, and that is indicated by the reappearance of the bowtie marking. Ibaya Laho, Mahu Sheyeshalem Shevach Sivlonos. The Gemara presents this question in a rather terse fashion, so in order to understand this question, we will glance at the Rashbam. Shevach Sivlonos Mahu. You can see this in the wide lines, about the sixth wide line under the Gemara. Hecho Dehadri Sivlonos. Given circumstances that the gifts are returned. Mi Hadri Shevach Shishbichu. What about the increased value that those gifts may have experienced between the time they were given to the father-in-law, to the father-in-law and the wife-to-be, and the point that they are expected to be returned? Kagon, sholach lebeis chomiv tzoinu bokar. For example, he sent to the father-in-law sheep and cattle, the yoldu, and in the interim they bore offspring. When time comes to return these gifts because of circumstances that we made reference to before, what about the return of these offspring as well? So the Gemara continues in presenting the question. Let's read the line again. Ibayalo, mau shi yishalem shevach sivloinois. Mahu, colon. You notice we have a colon presented here because the question in effect goes on with an aleph oyuduma beis presentation. The aleph is here. When you find the Odilma expression in our marking system, we try to feature it with a squiggle underline indicating a transition between suggestion 1 and suggestion 2. So there are two sides to this particular question. Gemara continues. Kevon di'i isnehu ledidei hadri. Since, if the gifts are themselves intact, the gifts, those gifts, the very same gift items that the Choson gave are returned, Birshusei Shavuach, they're viewed as if they remain in the domain of the Choson himself, and therefore the increased value of them is also that something that's said to have taken place in his domain, and he's the beneficiary of that increase. Odilmo Kivanti Avdi O Mignavi. On the other hand, since if something were to happen to the gifts that he sent, namely if they were lost or stolen, Boi Shlumile, there would be a necessity to offer monetary compensation, the actual item no longer being there. Birshusa dido shavuach. We would say since they carry an obligation to make financial good on the lost or stolen gifts, it's viewed as if it's under their control, under their supervision, under their responsibility, and as such the increase is theirs to be enjoyed and not returned to, not presented to the Chosson. Teku, this remains unresolved. The third question regarding Sivlonos and the possible return thereof, Boi Rava. Before we continue, we can glance at the say the title heading provided in the outside margin. Sivlonos u'asir livlois v'lo bolu mahu. What is the halacha regarding those type of sivlonos, those type of gifts that are expected to depreciate and perishables? We made reference to that in the source above with Rav Achasar Habira that made reference to sivlonos u'asir livlos. What is the din regarding those sivlonos that are expected to perish but remain intact? Boy Rava, Sivlonis Wasuyan Livlois Velo Bolu Mahu. What is the din in the event that the marriage doesn't go through? Are they to be returned? A new marking appears, a house form. This is explained as well in the outside margin under the heading Mivneh. Nisyonis Lifshoit She'elozu. These are attempts to answer this particular question of the Sivlonos that were asu livlos velo bolu. The Gemara continues. Toshma, and it quotes the source that we saw above. Vizu halocha heelo rivi achosar abir lifnechachom ebu'usha. The omru, and this is a point of law that was raised by Rav Acha in front of the sages in Usha, and they said, Savlonos asu livlos ein nigvin. V'she'ein asuyin livlois nigvin. That's the source. What can we conclude from here? My love, what must we understand? Afa gavdelo bolu. in category Aleph that said Asuyan Livlos, and you notice we've dashed underlined that to heighten the point that we're focusing on this, the gifts that are expected to depreciate. And we've also added a different type of dot underline under Ein Nikvin. And we're going to understand this as those that are Asui Livlos, they're destined to perish, even if they didn't actually depreciate. Nevertheless, Ein Nikvin. That would answer the question that under no circumstances are those types of gifts recovered. Lo. Mora rejects that and simply says, Debolu. The Aleph case of Savonus, Asui, and Livlos are not recoverable. That's when they, in fact, depreciated, when they perished. Toshma, Gemara, continues trying to conclude the question. We have another source, and in the marking system, sources, Tanaic sources, are indicated by frames around the necessary words. Savlonos mu'atin shetishtamesh bohen. The small gifts, these were also referred to in our Mishnah. You can look back in the Mishnah, you notice the underlined expressions that appeared in the Seif of the Mishnah. The last one of this, the second of those underlinings were this, the Savlonos mu'atin. Those are gifts, small gifts, that are used in her father's house. In other words, they're used up before she consummates the marriage. Ein nigvin. Those type of gifts are not recoverable. Here, we can't answer debalu because we're presenting them as they are. They are gifts that are to be used while she's in her father's house. And yet it says here, Ein nigvin, and we've emphasized that with a dotted underline. This, by the way, parallels the previous dotted underline, two lines above in the middle of line, where also the Gemara tried to conclude from that expression, Ein nigvin, so too over here. Here the Gemara, though, deflects this particular attempted conclusion in a different way. Tirgema Rava. Rava explained this particular source, Beyeva v'savchisa. The Rashbam explains these are very minor type gifts. They're scarves or possibly head shawls that are of a minor nature. And as a result of that, when a chosan gives these types of gifts, he's moichel legamri. He forgives on them completely, even if they do not depreciate, even if they remain intact. However, more significant type of gifts that are perishable and do not perish, I cannot conclude from this discussion. We have a period here indicating that that's the end of this particular thought process, and we now have another story presented by Rav Yudama Rav, as the markings indicate. Omer Rav Yudama Rav, Maisev Adam Echot, Sheshogal Beis Chomiv, Yayin Chodosh, V'shemen Chodosh, U'klei Pishton Chodosh Ba'atzeres. A story involving someone who sent to his bride, to his father-in-law's house, new wine, new oil, and clay pishtan would be linens made from freshly grown flax plants. Ba'atzeres, Shavuos time. What is the significance of this particular story? My komash malon. The Gemara answers. Iboy esema, one approaches chashivusa de eretz Yisrael komash malon. That eretz, the importance and the uniqueness of eretz Yisrael is featured in that eretz Yisrael is a place, a land that the fruits ripen rapidly. Namely, that even by shavuos, which is considered relatively early in the plant season, and nevertheless, by Shavuos time, the fruits are ripe. V'boy seima, another possibility of what the chiddush of this particular maisa is, de'i to'in ta'nose taina. The Rashbam explains, de'i to'in ta'nose taina, e hadri sivlonos. If we enter a situation where gifts are to be returned, v'to'in, and the groom says, yayin v'shemen sholachti loch batzeres, I sent you wine and oil on Shavuos time. Lohuchsuk badoy bekach. He wouldn't be considered lying. In other words, this story tells us that in fact is a reality, even though in many other countries it wouldn't be true. It wouldn't be logic. It wouldn't be likely that you'd have fresh wine and oil that early in the year. V'hadrilei, and as a result of it being considered a reasonable claim, because we're in a situation where, like we mentioned before, in Eretz Israel, such a claim could be is viewed as legitimate, and hence he could attempt to recover them. Omer of Yudam Arav, Maise Bodem Echod She'amru Lo. Another incident. I would have to say that this incident does not appear to be very much associated with the Gemara before, but what is common is that it features Rav Yudah Marav presenting a Maisa Bodem Echod, that they told him, Ishto Totran is he. Your wife lacks the sense of smell. Totran is someone that doesn't have a sense of smell. V'nichnas acharel l'churba l'bodka. And the man, upon hearing this, went after her, followed her into a ruin to check it out. And how was he going to do this? So the Gemara tells us, in rather brief words, what happened. The Rashbam presents this with two girsos, two versions of the story. Before we go on in the Gemara itself, let us take a look at the Rashbam. It's important to note that there are different types of what's called mumin, imperfections, deficiencies that appear in people, sometimes in dealing with men, sometimes dealing with women. In this particular case, we're focusing on a deficiency in the woman that could be grounds for dissolving the marriage, for forcing a divorce, and as a result of the misrepresentation of the particular individual, in this case the woman, she would lose her rights to a ksuba. These are very large sugyas elsewhere in Shas, but in this particular case we're going to talk about the imperfection, a mum, and a mum shebeseser, meaning this is not a mum shebegola. It's not similar to a case of, let's say, someone with two heads, for example, where we say the mum is obvious. But this is a mum shebeseser. And as a result, he's going to put her to the test to see if she really has this. And if she really does have this, this would be grounds for a divorce and her losing rights to receive her ksuba. Before we read the Gemara, as we mentioned before, let us take a look at the Rashbam toward the bottom. Nichnas acharel l'churba l'bodka, sham. V'noso imoy besoy chekoy tznoin l'nasoyso im toriach. This man followed his wife into a ruin, and he had inside his coat a rather fragrant type of vegetation called a tznoin, and he was going to test her out to see if she picked up on this scent. If she would pick up on this scent, so then we would have to say that she's fine, she's healthy, she's not like they claimed she was. As mentioned before, the Rashbam has another version. For those who are interested, you can pursue the Rashbam further. But we continue in the Gemara. We mentioned that they informed him that his wife was a totranis. The last line of the Gemara continues with the story. V'nichnas acharel l'churba l'bodka. He pursued her into a ruin, and as the Rashbam told us, he was carrying a tznoin inside his jacket, and he was doing this to check her out to see if she'd pick up on the scent. Omar law, he says to his wife in the ruin, he says, Reach tznon ani meriach begolil. I smell it tznon in Galilee. Omra le, she responds in a derech schok, according to the Rashbam, Huh, man yohiv lon mi koisavois diaricho v'achal nobe, who would give us some sweet dates from Jericho. Jericho was a place famous for the for its date crop, and it's known being a very sharp type of vegetable. In order to offset the sharpness, people would eat something very sweet to create a certain balance of taste. So she says back to him, oh, if only someone would give us some dates from Jericho that I could eat with the tznon. Nofal Allah Khurba Umesa. And all of a sudden, maybe an earthquake tremor was felt, and the ruin fell on her and she died. The husband comes to Beis Din and he wants to inherit his wife. Omru Chachomim. The Chachomim said, buddy, we're not so sure that you're going to be able to inherit her. In other words, you're not going to inherit her. Since he went after her to check her out, namely, he was in doubt whether he was going to remain with her whatsoever. In other words, he was in doubt, maybe he was going to divorce her. And as a result of that, Mesa, even though she died, Eino Yorsha. The Rashbam presents different versions of, or different opinions as to what level of marriage this particular couple had achieved. The approach he prefers, the Rashbam himself prefers, is that this was a fully married couple. They were nisuim. It was a case of a nisua, and the Rashbam, as a result of this particular Gemara, comes to a very dramatic conclusion, halachic conclusion, that is the subject of great discussion in halachic sources regarding what the husband's inheritance rights are with regard to his wife when he has an intention of divorcing her. Under normal, ordinary circumstances, it's very clear that when a wife dies, the husband inherits his wife. In fact, psukim are cited to prove that point. Nevertheless, if there's an intention on the part of the husband to divorce his wife, that may be grounds, according to the Rashbam, it is grounds for preventing his inheriting her. Let us glance at this Rashbam, because of its, I would say, dramatic nature with regard to halachic ruling. We are not here to cite final psak din, but yes, to introduce a very interesting and unique shita of Rishonim. The Rashbam that we'll look at is found a few lines down from here. We'll be reading in the middle of his discussion. There's a parentheses note in the Rashbam, Le'el Kuf Tes Amud Beis, and at this point he's citing the source for a husband inheriting his wife. He says, Kinenaf Galon Yerushas Habal, the inheritance of a husband is learned, Mishairo Hakoro Velov, Mi Mishpachto Vyorasho Isa. That's a pasuk. Dehainu La'achar Shinichan Solachupa. The pasuk refers to a husband inheriting his wife. At what point? At the point of nisuin. Hilchoch b'nisua mukminon lo. Therefore, the Rashbam is pushing his point, is advancing his particular shita, that this story is discussing a couple that had reached nisuin. V'hochi gar sinon, v'omru chachomim, hoyo v'nichnas acharel lebodka. Since the husband, pursued her to check her out, mesa eino yorsha. She died. He doesn't inherit her. Since he had full intention of divorcing her, if he were to find that she in fact was suffering from this mum, from this imperfection, this lack of sense of smell. And in the interim, she died. Kodem shenispaisu, before they ever made amends and got on together, eino zoche biyerusha. He is not going to merit inheriting her. And here is what's truly amazing. It's not uncommon for married couples to engage in disputes. Sometimes, unfortunately, those disputes are very intense. They're so intense that as a result of the dispute, the husband may decide to divorce his wife. If in such an event, a couple was engaged in such a hot dispute that he concluded in his mind to divorce his wife and she died before they ever divorced, shuv eino yorsha, he will nevertheless not be able to inherit her. Kinamrinon, b'masachas gittin, the Rashbam quotes the tractate gittin, in which it says, Mishanosen Eino Vlagarsha, from the point that a husband decided to divorce her, Shuv Ein Labal Peros. He loses fruit rights from the properties she brought into the marriage. So what the Rashbam is showing us is that the mere decision to divorce her might itself be grounds for his losing rights to her properties. Turning back to the Gemara now. Sevlonos mu'otin shetishtamish mo'e beveis aviha v'chulei. Yosef Rovin Savo kamei de Rav Popo v'yosef v'ko'omar. We've noted Aleph through Gimel, 3 points that will be taught together, and then a fourth point that will be taught 2 lines later. Bein shemei sohi, whether she dies. Bein shemei su, or he, the groom, dies. Hodar hu, or the groom divorces her. He decides to back out and divorce her. Savlonos hadri, maichol umishte lo hodar. Gifts are recovered. Food and drink is not recovered. However, hodra bo ihi, if she backs out and doesn't want to go through the marriage, hodra afilu kisha diarka, even a cluster of vegetables is to be returned. In other words, even food of all nature that she may have received as a gift is to be returned. Let us glance at the Rashbam toward the lower part of the narrow lines, Sivlonos Hadri, Kigon Sivlonos She'ein Asuyin Livlos, Shesholach Stam. Those are the type of gifts that we referred to earlier as being the non-perishable type gifts. Those are recovered. Those are recovered given the first several circumstances that the Gemara made reference to. Avol, Uchlo Mishta, Shesholach Beveis Chomiv. However, food and drink that the groom sent to the father-in-law, lo hadri mistoma im ochal misudas choson shom bedinar. Food and drink gifts, if the groom ate a meal worth a dinar there, they would not be recovered. Dahainu asuyin livlos. Food and drink gifts are perishables. Hilkoch mechulin kidesanyo leo. Therefore, they are forgiven, as was taught earlier. Let us continue in the Gemara. Omer Rav Huna braid Rav Yeshua. Vishamin lohen demei boser bezol. Here too, we will glance at the Rashbam. Vishamin lohen, we make an evaluation. Haboser bezol, meat sold at a discounted rate. Kishe yachsiru lo oichel umashke sheechilom vihishkam. When we talk about food and drink that the father-in-law's household consumed, and we said that if she backs out, if the bride backs out, that even food and drink gifts are restored. In the meantime, though, they consumed some of the food and drink. An evaluation has to be made. Yoshumu bezol. Kidemeforsh lekameh, as the Gemara itself will explain, the rate. Lifchois shlish midonimov. The repayment rate is at a two-thirds original value. Shebeinyan zeh shomen komach zirin ochlen hanecholim mitchila. This is the standard rate, the two-thirds rate that's applied to those kind of food restorations that are made when it was not anticipated that a restoration would be made at the outset. Let us go back into the Gemara. Rav Huna, Rav Yeshua mentioned that an evaluation of the food that they consumed is made, and it's made at the Demei Boser Bezol rate, which we said was at a discounted rate. Ad Kama Bezol, the Gemara asks, how cheap is it? Ad Tilsa, meaning a third, one-third less than the original value. In other words, the Chosan is able to recover two-thirds of the original value. So in this piece of Gemara, we discussed different circumstances which would serve as grounds for the return of Sivlonos, and the Gemara mentioned different types of Sivlonos, and it concluded with the different type of rate that one pays for the food and drink repayment that needs to be made. The Mishnah. Shchiv Meira, a person who's about to die, Shekosav Kol Nechosav Lachirim, who assigned all of his property to others. The Rashbam points out that Kosav is Lavdaf, but it doesn't mean specifically writing. It could be that he distributes through oral means as well. Aleph. Notice we've used lettering in the Mishnah to make a distinction between two cases. The Aleph case is Vishier Karka Kol Shehu. This man, Defliel, who was dividing out his property, retained for himself a small piece of ground. Matonoso Kayemes. His gift will stand, will go through, even if he gets better. Lo Shier Karka Kol Shehu. If this deathly ill man distributed all of his property, and literally all of his property, not withholding anything, ein matonoso kayemes, his gift will not stand. That means that if he gets better, he will recover, he will get back everything he distributed. Let us look at the Rashbam in the wide lines, matonoso matono. We said that the Shchiv Meira, who distributes most of his property but withholds something, even though he feels he's about to die. And you'll wonder, if he feels he's about to die, what was he withholding something for? So we say the fact that he withheld something shows us that he's giving out his property not really out of fear of death per se. Because if he was really fearful of death, he wouldn't have withheld anything. So the Rashbam points out, matanosa matono, de matnas shchiv meira b'miktsas, a gift given by a deathly ill man of a partial nature, namely the gift is not 100%. Im omad mechol yoeino choser, if he gets better from his illness, it is not returned. In other words, the gift sticks. Ukegon shikosu bo kinyan, kidepaskinu lekamon begemora, and there's another condition pointed out here, that a kinyan, a gesture of kinyan is written into this gift. V'hilchasa matna shchiv meira b'miktsas boi kinyan afagav demis. That a matna shchiv meira that's not complete does require a kinyan, and doesn't follow the standard rule of the characteristic matna shchiv meira, which we say that divrei shchimira keksuvin uchamasurin domi, that when a shchimira gives a gift, it's considered signed, sealed, and delivered, and you don't need an additional kinyan. That's not true when you're dealing with a matnaschim mirab b'miktsas. There's another type of gift that's called umitzave machmas misa, instructions that a person issues in anticipation of his death, lo boi kinyan. That does not require a kinyan, v'hu demis, and that's provided he dies. Aval im omad choser. If he gets better, the gift is returned. Afagav the konumine, even if they did make a kinyan. Hoyol umidaigis miso tzivo matonozu. Since his whole issuance of the matana was because he was fearful of death, we say that even if a kinyan was made, since the kinyan and the matana was as a result of fear of death, and he got better, it's returned. The next Rashbam says that if he did not, the next Rashbam says that if he withheld something, as we just got finished discussing matanos and matana, the Rashbam says what we said already, hayu v'shir le'atzmo, since he withheld something for himself, harehu, harehi kemat nasbori. It's like the gift of a regular person, a healthy person. Hilkoch, bein oimed mecholyo, bein meis. Whether he gets better or he dies, matanoso kayemes. Shalom idaiges misanosan, because it's clear to us that he gave it not as a result of the fear of death, but rather because he fully intended to give it as a gift. This Mishnah then puts a premium on our evaluating his mindset. Namely, we say that if he withheld something, it must be because he really wanted to give it as a regular gift. And if he didn't withhold anything, he gave everything away, he must have been fearful of death. The Gemara asks, who is the opinion that comes to conclusions based on umdana, based on our evaluating things? Man tano de azlinon boser umdana. The Rashbam says, man tano de svirule de azlinon boser umdana de daita de noise matona, that we follow our estimating his mindset, afopishalo pirish, even though he didn't say specifically or explicitly what his intentions were, kamisha pirish domi. It's as if he said so explicitly. The Katani, as it teaches in the Mishnah, hecho de lo shir, karka kolshu, where he does not withhold a minor, even a minor piece, he gives away everything. Amdinon daite, we evaluate, shenisyayish min achayim, that he's given up on life altogether. And as a result of that, l'hochi lo shir, that's why he didn't withhold anything. Va'adaita de'hochi yohav shim yomus, tiskayim hamatona. It must be that this is why he gave it, because he figured if he dies, I want the gift to stand. V'im yamod, if I get better, taser lo, v'lot iskayim matona. This is called umdana. So who is the Tana that comes to conclusions based on these type of evaluations of circumstances that were not stated explicitly, but just based on our observation? Before we go on into Gemara, let us take note of the geometric forms. We have a diamond here, and a few lines later, Rav Sheshes. In the outside margin, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading. We have a diamond with a dashed line following it. Deos Shel Man Tana de Mishnah Seinu. These are opinions offered by Amoroyim as to who the author of the Mishnah might be. Also Baser Umdeno de Daita, that follows this method of coming to conclusions, follows estimating people's mindsets. As our Mishnah taught, that there's a difference between this deathly ill man that writes a, that signs away his property and keeps a little bit, versus a shchimera that doesn't keep anything for himself but rather gives away everything. So we now continue in the Gemara. Omar Rav Nachman, Rabbi Shimon ben Menasyahi. We've dashed underlined the candidates for authorship. Rav Nachman's candidate is Rav Shimon ben Menasyah. The Sanya. We have a Tanakh source, as you can see, a section that's in a frame. The story involves a person whose son went abroad, and the father heard that his son went abroad, and he thereby assigned all his property to someone else, and then discovered that the son was still alive. Hare Shaholach Benod Minyas Hayam. Person's son went abroad. V'shama shemei spino, and he heard his son died. V'omad v'kosav kol nechosav, the father got up and assigned all his property la'acher to someone else. V'achar kach bo bino, and then his son came back. Matono soy matono. The first opinion in this source says the matona stands. Since he did not specify that the gift was conditional upon death of son, but rather it was given as a blanket gift, it stands. Rabbi Shimon Asya Omer, ein matono so matono. Rabbi Shimon Asya says, no, this matona is not going to stand. Shilmole hoyodaya shibino kayam. Had this father known that his son was alive, he would never have assigned his property to someone else. So, what do we see here? We see conclusion based on our evaluating the circumstances, even though conditions to the gift were not stated explicitly. Rav Sheshes, Omar of Shimon Shizurihi. Rav Sheshes has a different opinion. He says that the Mandu Omar, the Tana that holds that you go Bosir Oymed, is Rav Shimon Shizuri, the Sanya. This source features halachas concerning giving a get. Under standard circumstances, standard procedure, a husband can authorize the writing of a get and the giving of the get through an intermediary. If a husband, under normal circumstances, would turn to someone and say, write a get for me, that would not be grounds for having the get given to the woman. We have to hear explicit instructions, write and give the get. If, however, we have extenuating circumstances, it could be that it's enough for a person to say, write the get, and then, basing ourselves on the extenuating circumstances, we can then say, this man really intended to have it written and given. Desanya, borisha hayomrim, hayotze bekolar, a person who is being taken out to be killed by the government, fi omar, and he said, kisvu get liishti. He issued an instruction, write a get to my wife. Many times, people are interested in preventing their wives in the event that they don't have children. They don't want their wives to fall to Yibum, to their surviving brother, for whatever reason. In order to prevent the wife from suffering that type of fate, he arranges for her to be divorced beforehand. A divorced woman doesn't practice Yibum. So here this man is being taken out to be killed, and the condemned man says, write a get to my wife. Hare elu yichtavu v'yitnu. Those that hear these instructions, not only write it, but actually give it as well. Chazru lomar af ha-meforsh v'yotzei b'shayora. Then later on, they concluded that not only a condemned man, but even a man going on a dangerous journey. He's going on a journey overseas, or he's going out on a dangerous caravan journey, a shayora. And he were to say, kisvu get l'ishti, we can assume his intention is not only write it, but give it as well. Why didn't he specify it? It's because he's preoccupied. He didn't have time to think out all the way, and hence he issued a partial statement, but we interpret his true intentions. Rav Shimon Shizuri Omer, af hamesukan. Rav Shimon Shizuri adds, not only the aforementioned examples, but even someone who's deathly ill, who says, kisvu get l'ishti, he really wants it to be written and given. So we see an example, as Rav Shimon Shizuri features, that we go Boser Umdana. We evaluate his circumstances, and even though he didn't say explicitly, give it, we interpret that that's what his intention is. The Gemara now investigates both of these Amoroim. Why did each one choose a different candidate to be the author of the Tana who goes Boser Umdana? Rav Nachman, my time lo mokim lo ki Rabbi Shimon Shizuri. Why did Rav Nachman not establish our Mishnah like Rav Shimon Shizuri? Rav Nachman chose to establish our Mishnah like Rav Shimon ben Menasya. Answer: Shaini Hasam. The case of Rav Shimon Shizuri is different. The Omar Kisvu. He already revealed his intentions. He said, "Write the get." This is more clear than a standard case of Umdana. So I don't know that Rav Shimon Shizuri would follow Umdana per se. For Rav Sheshes, my time alone, mokum lo k'Rav Shimon Menasya, and Rav Sheshes, who set up the Mishnah like Rav Shimon ben Shazuri, why didn't he follow Rav Nachman's approach and set it up like Rav Shimon ben Manasya? So the Gemara answers, Umdana de Muchach Shaini. Something that's, there are very obvious circumstances, that's different. There, everyone would go Basar Umdana. And it could be everyone, meaning more than just one opinion, would go Basar Umdana under circumstances like that. And therefore, it could be that only under Umdana de Muchach, there Reb Shimon ben Manasseh would draw a conclusion, something very obvious, like the case of the father giving away all of his property. But the case of the Shchiv Meira, withholding some property, and our coming to conclusions to make a distinction between that and the Shchiv Meira that gives away all of his property, might not be the same. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.